The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome back to Tech Talk right here on Hi FM. And boy, oh boy, has this been an explosive week. Since we last spoke, all manner of nonsense has been going on in the world, but we're not going to discuss that. Not a political show in any way, shape, or form. Though technology tends to dictate what goes on in the world on all levels. But today we're going to be focusing on two huge things that happened simultaneously, both one less explosive than the other, but both quite significant within the context of what's happening in the tech world. Well, the first thing was World Mobile Congress in Barcelona kicked off this past Monday and concluded yesterday with not a huge amount of gadget and gizmo talk, but a ton of cooperation, much more information around what is going on in the 5G, 6G world. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But the other big announcement, even though it was small, slow, and incremental, was Apple. I think the timing was a lot more than just coincidental. There's no question that at the time that the whole world was focused on, I think, bigger things. But at the same time, the other major tech conference, being Mobile World Congress, was undergoing, and always had Mobile World since its inception has always focused on mobile technology as its primary focus, but startup, general technology, and everything else to do with the tech space gets spoken about, gets information, gets shared, a lot of announcements around breakthroughs and everything, and that's got everything to do with AI today, gets shared at Mobile World Congress. So to piggyback on that heightened awareness around technology, Apple took that opportunity to announce a whole host of new products, from iPhones, iPads, MacBooks, and even an updated display. So these gadgets definitely have a big impact on what's going on. You know, a lot of people have said, oh, well, Apple do this every year. They bring new products. But there's a deep, deep system integration and thinking behind all of this. And with the announcement of two products, one I'm going to talk about in a few minutes regarding, you know, my gadget of the week, even though I haven't actually yet had hands on, being the iPhone 17e. And the MacBook Neo, which I'm not going to talk about directly immediately. I'll tell a little bit more about that. But certainly has democratized Apple and brought it into the reach of people that were always dependent on Windows products or Android products at those sort of price levels, which makes a huge difference because from personal experience, I can tell you, once you get involved in the Apple ecosystem and the sheer ease and polish of it, not knocking Android. Android is superb. We spoke about Samsung and this S26, and that without question is a premier product. With all, there's a different ethos, there's a different take, there's a different way of working with technology per the Apple sort of way. And without, again, getting into any sort of political debate about Apple versus Android, the simple fact is that technology is a defining part of all our lives. We use it every day. It becomes almost impossible to navigate the modern world without immediate access to your mobile phone. A lot of discussion around whether this is good or bad. Again, not a scope of something that I can discuss. But the simple fact is that without technology, we feel a little bit lost, a little bit unable to do what we need to do in a day. And that makes an absolutely huge difference. So moving on to my gadget of the week, and I think this is probably one of the best low-cost releases that Apple have brought out. It's going to sell in the 14,000 to 16,000 Rand range, which is not ridiculously cheap. Sub-10 is an area that I doubt Apple would ever play in with some of the really entry-level Androids and other phones, well, all the Android phones coming. But between 10 and 20 is the mid-range sweet spot. There are a ton of exceptionally good devices that give you 90 to 95% of the flagship without some of the fancy materials and the real cutting edge technology. But certainly what Apple have done with the 17E, which is my gadget pick of the week, is they've brought it in at between 14 and 16,000 Rand. And this packs exactly the same chip. Well, not exactly. There's a teeny little caveat. They call them binned chips. I'll explain that in a second. But the iPhone 17 range had that latest A19 chip. The reason why this chip is significant is, one, it's built on the latest processors that they make and has the best neural engine that they've ever produced, along with the video section, as well as the main CPU. The only difference between the main 17, iPhone 17 and the 17E is these chips have slightly less processors. So in other words, when they test these straight off the fabrication, some have one processor missing or faulty or doesn't work. So instead of eight, there's six. And you would probably not notice that difference unless you're a heavy gamer or you're doing some serious video editing. Whatever the case is, this is definitely one of the fastest processors on the market in a mid-range phone. They've also doubled the base storage to 256 gigabyte, which is a big deal. 128 was becoming significantly little in the main, and you need a minimum of 256. 512 now is sort of the sweet spot, but 256 gig is certainly good enough for a lot of apps that you would need. They've also added MagSafe, which they didn't have in the 16E. So now you can charge at reasonably high speed. They've, again, limited slightly or not included the technology slightly of the faster 17 range. But for most people, that will make really minimal difference. So they've included MagSafe support, which is great for covers, for clicking on all the sort of gadgets and gizmos to charge or to store or to hold the phone. So MagSafe, I think, is a great addition. They've also improved the ceramic shield display. It's called Ceramic Shield 2. So that's exactly the same as the 17s. And they've put the same 48 megapixel fusion camera with 2x optical telephoto on the back. So it only has one camera, the same as the 16. It also adds all the satellite connectivity features and all the latest Wi-Fi, up to Wi-Fi 6, not 7 on this one. And it comes in some interesting, nice new colors. My daughter was very pleased with the idea of a soft pink, but some nice colors, great build. Still doesn't have the island. It has the little notch at the top, which is a small, I mean, I think the island is great. It's really good fun to use. It's pretty informative, but it's not an absolute deal breaker. So for anyone who wants a really great device at a price that really doesn't break the bank, the new iPhone 17e is a great addition.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back and into our Tech Talk Cafe segment. I'm not talking to people. I'm going to be talking about Apple. Again, as I said, a little bit of an Apple-focused, well, a lot Apple-focused week. And a big, big week in terms of, as I said earlier, good value for money with really signature Apple products that will definitely please most people most of the time. You can't please all of us all of the time. And the announcement kicked off with something called the new iPad Neo. Not iPad, the Mac Neo. Now, the Mac Neo is really a very interesting product because up to now, if you wanted an entry-level or a reasonably priced laptop, you definitely landed up with a Windows laptop. They were all sub 10 grand or somewhere between 10 and 15,000 Rand for a decent-ish laptop that tended to cut a few corners. Low-resolution screens, slightly plasticky bodies, and many other little things that clearly showed lack of memory, lack of RAM, and all sorts of things that generally, and I'm not knocking any of the surprise of these laptops, they were decent and they worked reasonably well for the money. But they were never, ever seen as high-end laptops. Now imagine along comes Apple, brings out a 14,000 or 11,000. I think they're going to be selling in South Africa for round about 11,000 to 12,000 rand, which is pretty insane at that price for an all aluminium bodied Mac with reasonable memory and reasonable reasonable is not the point. If you look at this laptop next to any other MacBook, it looks exactly like a MacBook, which is absolutely incredible. It's got a 13-inch screen. It's got a very good keyboard. It's got a trackpad that's not quite as good as the MacBook Air or the MacBook Pro, but I can tell you now that it'll be as good as anything else in that range, if not better. And the screen quality and the processor is really important, which makes all the difference. It comes with reduced memory, but Mac has actually always been much better at running multiple programs using lower memory than Windows. Not that I'm knocking Windows. I find Windows for work and for business and for doing certain things like using Office tends to be a little bit simpler. I love the file structure. So I'm a big Windows fan, but you need serious hardware to run Windows well. I use a Dell XPS, and let me tell you, sometimes even that runs out of steam working with various things, and the trackpad seriously doesn't do the trick. The MacBook Air or Pro trackpad is just leagues and leagues ahead. So pack all of that into the Neo now. You've got a great screen. You've got a decent front camera. In fact, the front camera is slightly better resolution than the current MacBook Airs, which is quite interesting. It's a 1080 high definition, whereas the MacBook Air's only got a 720p front camera. And it brings high-end chips, really some you know, ecosystem gains within what's going on in the Apple space at a price that's really hard to beat. So that was, for me, probably the biggest announcement. It's a great, as I said, 13-inch Liquid Retina display. The colors, they're, in general, the Liquid Retina displays are sharp, very high resolution, and very natural. So watching movies, doing some photo work, whatever, would work extremely well. It comes with the standard microphones built in with two side speakers, so you've got stereo. And using the latest chips, it definitely will run all the AI or AI-ready programs extremely well. And just as an aside, Apple, instead of, and I read a really interesting article about how they're going to win the AI race, and a lot of people are saying that Apple fell far behind, and they did. They were trying to generate, or rather build, their own Apple intelligence platform. But the perspective from Apple was slightly different. They looked at AI as making everything that you do on your computer smarter, smoother, simpler, faster. It's very much an Apple thing. They weren't really playing at the cutting edge or the bleeding edge of what is possible in terms of AI and AI models. So what they did, instead of spending an absolute ton of money building everything from scratch, they've now partnered with Google. And the entire, and I mean, you cannot begin to understand the sheer amount of data and the sheer amount of processing power that all the data centers around the world running and working with Google have, and brought that to bear on the Apple ecosystem, and slowly but surely, starting with 26.3 and moving into 26.4 operating system for the iPhone and the latest Mac operating system, Mac OSs, you're going to see smarter and smarter, but essentially invisible use of AI. So your picture editing will just become that much better. Your search and Siri will just become that much smarter. And I think I have to agree that in many ways, most people are not particularly fussed about which AI they use. They just want to use one that works, does the trick, gives you the best search information, answers you smartly when you speak to it rather than being a bit dumb. And you can already see it in the 26.3 iOS. When you ask Siri stuff, it infers a lot better than it did before. When you type in spelling mistakes and weird things because you're not thinking or not watching or you're using the silly standard keyboard, which is more swipe than touch, and you land up with the most weird words, it figures it out and gets it all done for you in a way that really is much, much smarter. So watch Apple AI get better and better and better, the implementation of it, even though it's running on the back end of Google. And the latest Neo has the chipset that can easily run that sort of power. So it should be out in the next week or so in South Africa and pretty much around the world. And I think in many ways, an aluminium-bodied, high-quality, another little trade-off, there's no backlit keyboard. I don't find that a huge problem in some dark places, maybe, but really not a big deal. They've done a very smart way of looking at an entry-level laptop, giving you all the quality and all the key features that you need, and made it affordable in many ways. Luckily, the Rand has improved dramatically. Prices have dropped for the 17E and the Neo. The prices are very, I think, attractive in terms of what they are. They're not inexpensive. We're not talking entry level, but this is Apple. And it still brings most of the top quality Apple qualities to products that are really, really low cost. And apart from that, they rolled out a whole host of new things as well. So the Neo for me was probably the biggest update in many, many ways. But what came along was a whole new range of iPad Airs with the new M4 chip, which gives faster performance, includes Wi-Fi 7. And Wi-Fi 7 is not something that a lot of people are using yet, even though they're talking about Wi-Fi 8 already. But Wi-Fi 7 brings a lot of benefits, especially in a home with lots of equipment or apartment buildings where there are tons of people with multiple Wi-Fi networks. It also brings mobile level connectivity. So connecting to a Wi-Fi 7 Wi-Fi network has become faster, cleaner, and simpler. And the speeds under load, not just sheer speed, a lot of speed people don't really need, but the speeds of connecting when there's a lot of people streaming and doing all and using AI and doing all sorts of stuff in the background improves dramatically across the user base. If there's 20 items connected to your Wi-Fi network, Wi-Fi 7 will deliver far better service to all 20 than any other system in the past. So it's really important that it's there. And as you upgrade your Wi-Fi at home, these new MacBook Airs and the iPad Airs and everything will take care of that. So outwardly, the iPad Air, for example, doesn't look that different, but it definitely comes with better chips. And the screen has been upgraded to take Apple Pencil Pro support, which is quite good. At one stage, you had to use the old Apple Pencil, but now you can use the new one. It does. Using it is pretty scary. It feels like writing on paper. It has tremendous sort of proprioception. It's just interesting when you use it, how well it works. So it's a nice upgrade. And then the next thing that they announced was the MacBook Air with M5 chip. Now, the M5 chip, again, is an evolution of what's been going on. You can still buy MacBook Airs with the M1 chip, and they still perform exceedingly well, considering. And in the chip world, a four-year-old or a four-generation older, in fact, you could almost go as fast to say a five-generation older chip, generally means super slow performance, very bad video performance. And yet the M series chips have avoided that to the most part. But the M4 and M5 chips now have taken this, they always quote 25% better this and 40% better that. Simply put, moving from an M3 to an M4, which I have tried, is notable. You get used to the speed, but it is notable, and the more things you open. Now, the M5 promises even more of that. So there's much, but apart from simply the performance gains, they've become much more power friendly. So you're getting more efficient use of the power so that the computer lasts longer doing more. Also, they've moved the memory base from 256 gig, which really in a laptop was very low. Even if you're using the cloud to offload everything, which just makes sense, but it was low. When you're opening a lot of programs, you've got a lot of large files open on the computer itself. 256 gig starts slowing things down, and 512 base in these products makes a lot of sense. So the new MacBook Airs come with the M5 chip, higher memory, and not much else has changed. Pretty much everything else is the same as before. So it's simply a mid-level update to faster processors, more memory, and some refinement. The MacBook Pros are another level altogether, but those are pricey, starting at about 44,000 Rand. The whole MacBook Pro range has also been upgraded with the M5 chip, both the Pro and the Pro Max, which is the sort of the highest level chip for creators, for people who do a lot of video and all sorts of generation of AI and whatnot on a MacBook. They are exceedingly expensive. You can spend right up to 100,000 and below, above on a top-end MacBook Pro. But those are, I think, focused pretty much on professional work in studios and places like that. Whereas the MacBook Air with an M5, and even using the latest version of the iPad OS, can actually function like any computer that any of us for normal home use, browsing, creating, doing some video work, pretty much anything you could contemplate outside of a heavy commercial usage or industrial medical stuff. The MacBook Airs and even the iPad Airs have become so functional and so fast and so powerful with sufficient memory, sufficient storage, and beautiful screens. You can add a keyboard to an iPad, which gives you a trackpad and a keyboard, and you basically got a full-on computer in that space. So if you're looking for an upgrade, if you have an M1, M2, even an M3, and you really want a significant boost in performance, speed, and quality, these new upgrades make a huge difference. But if you've got an M4, anything in that range, probably not the biggest upgrade unless you're a complete computer geek like myself where you have to have the latest and the greatest. But the MacBook Neo at round about, as I said, 14,000 to 16,000 is a killer new product. I think it's really put Windows on notice, saying they have to do something to improve the quality versus price ratio of their computers. The battery life, the speed, the processing power, and everything else that goes on at that sort of level has to, I think, step up a notch. And competition is always good. I'm not saying Windows doesn't have its place. It does. But for most of us using a Mac at that sort of price level, along with the 5 to 7 year support cycles, which are massive, the average Mac, interestingly, can last up to 5 years. The average Windows computer, after three to four years pushing it, you may need to replace. So there's a lot of value to be had in that space. And this definitely brings a lower barrier to entry for digital inclusion. Now, that's a big deal in South Africa. Unfortunately, a lot of people are still not in the space to just pop out 20, 30 grand for a fancy laptop, but that have their needs are no less. So I think it'll be really important that in the hybrid work environment, certainly in the learning environment, offering a really high-quality computer at a price point that many, many more people can afford makes a lot of sense. The battery focus in terms of power, because power still, even though it's improved like mad over the last year or so, there's still challenges around power and when you're out of home, where you can charge, things like that. So as long as the Rand remains where it is, which is great, hopefully there'll be further improvements down the road, these products remain competitive, not totally inexpensive. But I personally feel that these are exciting new developments within that space. They're practical, they are thoughtful, they're bringing high quality into spaces that really didn't shine in that space. And again, I really want to stop short of knocking what all the other Windows manufacturers have been doing. And they've been doing pretty good jobs in some cases. But in many cases, entry-level Windows laptops were a bit of a disgrace. They had far too little memory, you know, 4 gig, 5 gig, even 8 gig of RAM in a Windows context using Windows 11 tends to really run out of speed fast. 16 gig to 32 gig became the norm, and never available in cheap laptops, small, slow SSDs, plastic manufacturing, low-resolution screens, and terrible trackpads. Cannot say that often. You know, if your main interface with that computer was the trackpad, you don't have touchscreen, which is also not something that's available on the Neo. But you don't have a touchscreen. You've got a trackpad that is everything, and that thing is terrible. It's, you know, just non-responsive and very difficult to work with, especially in things like spreadsheets and anything creative. So this really, I think, changes the game at a time that people are looking for value. People are looking for something better at the value, you know, at that sort of level. And if you're spending anything above 10,000 Rand on a laptop, you do expect something that'll last you a couple of years, well built with all the various bits and pieces that you need. And this ticks all those boxes pretty well. So on that note, I think we're going to have a quick live read and then break for our sponsors. And then I'll be back with some more information about what's up and what's new. And let's take it from there. So Pesach is just a few weeks away. And if you're a business trying to reach the Jewish community, now is the moment. At 101.9 Chai FM, we're launching our Pesach advertising campaign. This is a great idea, people. Helping businesses connect with thousands of listeners as they prepare for the busiest time of the year. From food and wine to travel, gifts, clothing, cleaning, and everything in between. If your business has something people need before Pesach, and in fact, at any time, we can help you tell them about it. Radio works. It's immediate, it's trusted, and it reaches the community where it matters most. So if you want your brand heard across the community this Pesach, speak to the team on Chai FM. To find out more, message us on 061-895-1019. I'll repeat that, 061-895-1019, or email us at info@chaifm.com, not Chai FM. So it's info@chai.com, and we will get in touch. Chai FM, we are the sound of the community. And we will be back straight after this, and there's more tech, more news, and a quick roundup of what happened at Mobile World Congress straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 Chai FM.
Well, welcome back. And just a quick caveat, because I realized I've been sort of raving a little bit about all the new Apple products and all the new Apple gear. In many ways, they haven't brought out anything truly revolutionary. I think we're in a very middle phase in terms of technology. The big stuff is happening behind the scenes with the platform systems and everything that's working on our devices. So the end user device, the phone, the tablet, the computer, whatever your interface is, and however you access the internet, that has, I think, hit a very stable period. A lot of people are finding that even older equipment's doing just fine, and the new equipment looks the same as the older equipment, just with better, more fancy insides, faster processors, a little bit more memory, better quality screens, all this type of incremental improvement. And that goes for smartphones as well as laptops and tablets. So we are definitely seeing a period where it becomes interesting and it becomes difficult to say, I do need to upgrade at this point, or I need a new device because it can do this that the old one couldn't. A lot of that has reduced because a ton of processing is happening in the cloud rather than on your device. Even though with all the privacy and all the security needs and requirements of modern computing, a lot of stuff has to happen on the computer. But Apple seemed to be navigating an ecosystem and a price range which is one, high end and quality, and two, reasonable value with excellent performance in giving you product that has a long life, 5 to 7 years, as I said, with the laptop. I mean, the iPads as well, even the 5-6-year-old iPads are still being updated. They still operate extremely well and still do everything that you need within the context of what they are. I mean, they are compromises. So watch this space. I believe the Windows ecosystem needs a shakeup and is getting one. I think we're going to see some really good new products coming in the nearish future. I'm a big fan of Windows operating system. I'm a huge fan of Microsoft Office because I use it every day for my work and, you know, for everything. So I think there's still a strong spot in that space. But I think in many ways, many companies have lost sight of the fact that people want good quality at a reasonable price. And once the quality bar is set by a manufacturer like Apple, I think it resets the industry to come up with products that really are competitive and match, and if not exceed, some of the sort of leading figures in that space. But moving on to World Mobile Congress, and I mean, there were a ton of interesting products. Nothing mainstream, obviously, Samsung announced before, Apple announced during. But I mean, there were many of the other players, like ZTE had some really cool gaming phones with some cool looking features and sort of transparent, you can see the insides, which gave it a very futuristic feel. Nice and interesting. They're not big in South Africa, so I don't think they were going to see too much of that. But what was very interesting is another manufacturer which brought out some really interesting stuff, which you can get, is Leica, along with a couple of people who brought out some really amazing Leica phones, which definitely were very, very, very nice. The Honor robot phone came out. Now, Honor, big brand in South Africa, doing quite well, brought out a real R2-D2 type device, which I think is more of a gimmick than a phone, but you push a button and this little robot camera pops out of the back of the camera, back of the phone, and then can do all sorts of interesting stuff, like a DJI Osmo. It can follow and track and becomes really cool gimbal stabilized camera unit built into a little mobile phone. The same thing, there seem to be a lot of interesting but not particularly useful gadgets in that space. So Honor had the robot phone. Motorola showed off the Razr Fold. They are not a brand that we're seeing much in South Africa anymore, unfortunately. I don't actually think you can get those phones. But certainly this one looked very similar and very good value compared to the Samsung Galaxy Fold, the Honor Magic version 6. And let's see, maybe they will bring it. Xiaomi, that's right, Xiaomi and Leica collaborated on a killer phone. Apparently one of the best, and I've not seen it, I've only read reviews about it, but some of the best camera phone photos have been taken, which were very similar to a genuine Leica Q3 standalone camera. And that's a combination of both computative work in the background, as well as obviously the lenses, and Leica certainly know how to create a camera lens. So expect to see the Xiaomi Leica phone come to South Africa fairly soon. It won't be cheap. It's definitely not going to be a low-end phone. It's going to be in the 20 to 30,000 rand price range when it comes. I'm sure it will come fairly soon. But it really looks amazing, runs Android, and definitely has probably one of the coolest camera setups on a phone that I've seen, looking at the specs and taking into account what people said about how good this phone really is. So if cameras are your thing and you want a mainstream Google-based phone, then Xiaomi does an incredible job in that space. Also, Honor brought out some really interesting stuff. But as I said, the new or the slightly revised Magic V6 was just incredibly slim. It certainly closed, it's thinner than an iPhone 17 Pro Max, and opened, it's just ridiculously slim. And it gives you all the latest performance in a really big screen. But that was not where the major stuff was happening. What was announced and what was really very, very interesting is that companies are collaborating. Now, who would think Vodafone and Amazon would collaborate? But they've partnered to offer coverage across Europe and Africa using low Earth orbit LEO satellites. Now, I've spoken about this before. Obviously, our friend Mr. Musk has been doing that quite a lot and made it available in many places around the world, where you simply use any standard GSM phone to connect to a low Earth orbit satellite and send data or messages, and more now will allow you to do voice calls without any mobile connection within where you are. Now, in cities, it might not be a big deal. But in rural areas or in places of disaster, case in point in the Middle East right now, it would make a lot of sense if your phone can immediately connect in the normal way to a satellite, and you can receive, send, and you're not restricted by physical infrastructure on the ground. So expect to see more and more of that as we move ahead. There's going to be more and more low Earth satellite systems coming online. They'll be utterly seamless. You won't notice unless the phone informs you that it's no longer connected to a standard network, but is using satellite. It won't be quite as good as full 5G on a low Earth, on a normal sort of terrestrial setup, but certainly more than good enough. The GSMA, which runs Mobile World Congress, and the European Space Agency also announced some massive funding to accelerate the convergence of space and mobile industries, which makes a big difference. That combines AI, 6G technology, and a whole lot host of other technologies that are going to make the sort of Skynet concept more and more possible. So wherever you are in the world, no matter what you're doing, you will have access to the internet, you'll have access to voice and video calls, and you'll be able to connect no matter what is going on. But apart from that, there was a ton of work around AI and the various AI stuff and everything to do with efficiency and improving the networks using AI, and a lot of news about how fast and stable 6G is going to be when it finally breaks in the next year or two. And on that note, we have a quick break for our sponsors, and I'll be back with some interesting news of South Africa. And then I'm afraid our time is up and we'll have to wrap it up. So we'll be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. And some really interesting news popped out in South Africa with direct impact on a lot of us this week is that MultiChoice has pulled the plug on Showmax. Now, I remember clearly in 2015, I was at the Showmax launch, and there was so much hype around streaming platforms and the clever, clever use of technology to offer an early, in 2015, streaming was not something that was mainstream at all in South Africa. Everybody was thoroughly enjoying their sort of MultiChoice DSTV satellite cutting edge service where you had to pretty much do everything on a schedule. Well, move forward in the next, you know, couple of 10 years since that, and the world has fundamentally shifted away from, you know, apart from news and that 24-hour news cycle where you're watching CNN go over the news 100 times a day and never-ending information sort of stream. Programming has moved to on-demand. There is just no question that everyone I speak to and the global trends have shown that on-demand has become the way that most of us consume our media. Advertising, sitting and waiting for the latest show to come up, and, you know, recording the show sometimes on a PVR or some sort of system just feels like so last century. And yet it was only a few years ago. And Showmax was, and I knew a lot of the people who worked there and created the system, was smart. It was really clever. Adding live streaming to that was a technological marvel. And it was pretty impressive what they did. However, what has happened over the years is that platform has never made any money. It really didn't seem to get the traction that it expected, and they kept trying to get it going. And when MultiChoice was sold to Canal Plus in the last year, the writing, unfortunately, was on the wall. Canal Plus have large French TV and streaming platform owner and company, have their own platforms in this space. The growth of Netflix, the growth of Disney and all the other, and Prime and all these other streaming platforms at nominally, you say, lower cost. They weren't entirely lower cost overall. It just made the life of a sort of aggregation streamer like Showmax more and more difficult. And the figures don't lie. They lost $4.9 billion in the year ended to 31 March 2025. It dropped MultiChoice Group trading profits by nearly 50%. It was just a huge loss. But for me, the biggest loss will be the amount of time, effort, and showcasing of local product and local stuff across Africa that MultiChoice and Showmax made. So big deal for South Africa, I think. It's a big deal for MultiChoice. It's sad to see something that was homegrown, smart, competitive in its technology, if not in its money making. So on that sad note, we have to wrap up, I'm afraid. We have to call it a day, but a big week for Apple and all the Apple products, a big week at Mobile World Congress with all the news around mobile connectivity, large focus on low Earth satellites and the ability to connect wherever you are in the world. And of course, all of this underpinned by the rise and the continual dominance of AI in everything that we do. So much happening in this space. Stay safe. Have a wonderful week, and we'll explore some more interesting stuff next week right here on Chai FM on Tech Talk. This is Stephen Ambrose signing out, but never checking out. Chat soon. Bye.